Hello, Sun fans, and welcome back to Here Come the Sun. I'm your host, Sean Gauthier, back from a rather unexpected break. Today, we're taking a question from a listener and giving a quick recap of what's gone on with the Sun since I've last recorded. Diving into the recap. So the Sun are on a 2-game win streak, and they've gone 7-of-3 in their last 10 games. They've slipped down to third place in the WNBA standings, behind New York in first and Minnesota in second. The race for second place is still on, although the race for first is basically out of the question. Looking back over the game since our last show, the Sun finally had a victory over the New York Liberty, winning 72-64 at the Barclays Center. For fans and players alike, and I know me, this win was a massive weight off of our shoulders. I've been stressed about the long losing streak against New York, especially since winning a championship most definitely is going to be going through them, at least anytime soon, so I was very happy to see a win there. The Sun lost to the Fever in a pretty close game, ending that season series 3-1. I'll get a little bit more into that one in a few minutes when we get into the listener question. The Sun won one and lost one in a mini-series against the Storm at home earlier this month. I was actually at the game that they won at Mohegan, and it was a blast. I brought my friend Steven. He'd never been to a WNBA game before, and he left as a fan and even got his own Dewana Bonner bobblehead, so that was a really good time. The Sun did end up losing to the Aces, and they remain winless against the Aces. They haven't beat the Aces since the blowout win in Game 3 of the 2022 WNBA Finals. You know, a win there would have felt great, but we did quickly get some fun news when the Sun won their back-to-back games against the Sparks earlier this week. In the September 8th game, Dejanay Carrington reached her 1,000th career point, and Alyssa Thomas got her 11th regular season triple-double and her 14th overall if you include playoff games. Also, just to look at the new addition, Marina Mabry, she's looked really great in a Sun jersey, especially her three-point shooting. She's 42% from three, which if just these games playing with the Sun had been her whole season this year, it would be the highest three-point percentage of her career. So it's a very good record for her. All right, that was our rapid-fire recap. Now let's get into the listener question from Arlene.
Hey, Sean, this is Arlene, big-time fan and supporter of your podcast. Missed hearing you the past few weeks. My question is, who does the Connecticut Sun want to face in the playoffs? Indiana's hot. I think we can beat them. I hate to go play them against them in their home court, or Phoenix Mercury. Love to hear your feedback and thoughts on this question. Thanks so much, and keep the podcast going.
Thanks for the question, Arlene. I think taking one step back, so the Sun put out a graphic actually on social media earlier this week talking about their chances of each individual potential matchup in terms of likelihood of it happening. And I'm glad they did because math is not my strong suit and figuring out those numbers would not have been something I could have done. So looking at potential matchups, there's a 57% chance that the Sun play Indiana in the first round, a 37% chance that they play Phoenix, and a 5% chance that their matchup is against Seattle. Anyone else is about 2% and not all that likely. I'm going to go over each of these matchups one by one, starting from the least likely to happen to the most likely. So looking at Seattle, I think this would be the toughest first round matchup. I think that's a bit of a hot take. I think most people would say Indiana, but the Sun are 1-2 against Seattle this season, and Seattle have only gotten better with the addition of the French sensation, Gabby Williams, who was lighting up the Olympics and now found a home again in the WNBA over with Seattle. And the Sun seem to be struggling to get up three-pointers against the Storm all season, even before they got Gabby Williams. That said, in the win against the Storm, the Sun made 26 free throws, and in their losses, they attempted only 17. So, you know, if the Sun are going to beat the Storm in a series, they'll definitely need to keep their efficiency up, but they need to make sure to draw and make their free throws, which unfortunately is something they haven't been all that good at this season, and so for that reason alone, I think Seattle will be the toughest matchup. When you look over at Phoenix, again, that's a 37% chance of happening. I think that's probably the best-case scenario for the first round. The Sun have really had the Phoenix Mercury's number this season so far in the first three games against them. They won comfortably in all three. They do have one game left against the Mercury. That's this Friday. And that'll give us a good preview of, you know, this potential first round matchup. Looking at the numbers, though, Alyssa Thomas alone is averaging nearly a triple-double against the Phoenix Mercury this season. She's got 9 points on 65% shooting, 8 rebounds and 6 assists in an average of just 29 minutes over those 3 games. So like, if Alyssa Thomas keeps it going against that team, and also, you know, the addition of a lot of the 3-point shooting and the great defense this team has been playing, I think they've got a good advantage in this one. You know, when you look at the disadvantage, I think if the Mercury can get Griner going early in these games, that's always going to be trouble. With Brittany Griner's size and her skill, she's basically impossible to stop in the paint once she gets going. And if she's really going off, that could be big trouble for the Sun, you know, and potentially, you know, I think potentially steal a game. But I think that you look at the history of the matchup of these two teams over the season, and unless something bonkers happens in this fourth game against the Mercury this Friday, I think the team should feel pretty confident going into this one. They've won by 27, 11, and 23 in their other matchups this season. So we'll see if they can keep that run going against Phoenix this Friday, but I do think that one would be the best case scenario in terms of, you know, making it out of that first round. Now on to Indiana. 57% chance that's the matchup. I think it would be the most fun matchup in the first round. If all things were to stay the same right now, your matchups would be New York versus Chicago, Vegas versus Seattle, Minnesota versus Phoenix, and Connecticut versus Indiana. I think that Vegas-Seattle series could be a lot of fun, but ultimately I think that this series will be the big story out of the first round of the playoffs. You've got the Connecticut Sun, the small market powerhouse, mostly ignored by the national media. And you've got the Indiana Fever, who are obviously the opposite of ignored by the national media. But, you know, they've not had a ton of success in recent seasons. Obviously, this team is a very much a new look team with the addition of Caitlin Clark, and also, you know, the way that Aaliyah Boston has really shown up and shown out and continued her growth from her first season in the W. I think, you know, it will be a fun matchup seeing the vets of the Connecticut Sun versus, you know, the rookies of the Indiana Fever, or the young players, rather, of the Indiana Fever. Also, we'd get Dejanay Carrington versus Nelissa Smith, her girlfriend. That's always an entertaining matchup. It's been fun to watch all season. But digging a little deeper into this one, since it is the most likely matchup, the Sun went 3-1 against the Fever this season. In the first game, they had a massive win. They won a close one in the second game against them. They had a big win again in the third, and then a close loss in the fourth game against them. In that most recent game, the Sun lost 80-84, and that's a pretty close game, and ultimately the game really came down to the way that Indiana was hitting their three-point shots. Connecticut hasn't always been the best three-point shooting team, so it can make it hard to make up those deficits when the other team is hitting threes while you're you know, settling, you know, not settling, you're getting your two-pointers, you're scoring in the paint, but just math-wise, it's hard to get to catch up. That said, the biggest issue in this game was for the Sun was really the lack of free throws. The biggest issue for the Sun in this most recent game against the Fever was their free throws. And it wasn't even just that they weren't making them, but it was just the fewest they've had attempted. And so in a game against the Fever all season, and that was the biggest difference, and is, you know, in a game where you lose by 4, like, having more free throw attempts could have been, you know, the deciding factor in that game. In that same game, though, the Sun outscored in the paint. They outscored off of turnovers, and that's their strong suit, especially off of turnovers. This is a team that, you know, turns defense into offense as the main way that they're scoring buckets in games, right? And so the fact that they were still able to do that in this game, even in the loss, shows that, like, their strategy is working. They were outscoring in these high percentage looks. They were outscoring in, you know, the hustle plays there. And so I think keeping that up is going to be important to winning. And ultimately, I think that the Sun have 3 key advantages over the Fever. One would be that they would have home court. The Fever have a very big arena that they pack with ravenous fans. It gets very loud. It's very intimidating in there. And so the Sun having home court advantage in this series would be huge. I mean, the way that the first round works is you get 2 games at home, 1 game away, in a best of 3 series. So if the Sun can win in both of their home games, they don't even have to go to Gainbridge Arena and, you know, deal with the noise that comes with being there. The second thing is that the Sun are stacked with veterans. This team's been in the playoffs the past 7 seasons. The core of Bonner, Thomas, and Breonna Jones have been together, and they know the intensity of being on the stage of the playoffs. You know, they've made the finals together not too long ago. And so, you know, the young core of the Fever will largely be in the playoffs for the first time, obviously including their rookie Caitlin Clark. And, you know, I think that we've been here before mentality can really help the Sun stay collected and focused on their game plan, you know, not get lost in the moment of the playoffs, because they've seen round one of the playoffs before, and they know what it's going to take to win. Lastly, I firmly believe that defense wins championships. I've said it before that I'm a Celtics fan. I think that their defense is what won is a big part of what won them the championship this year. And the, you know, the Sun have said many times, as I remember Alyssa Thomas saying ahead of the game in Boston, that like they play a very similar style game. And so, you know, you look at the Sun, they are they have the best defensive rating in the league. The Fever are second worst and 11th place in the league when it comes to defensive rating. And so with defensive-minded guards, especially like Dejounte Carrington and Veronica Burton, this team has already shown that they can slow down Caitlin Clark, especially in that very first game, but also in all three of the first games they've played against the Fever, Dejounte Carrington especially looked so good guarding Caitlin Clark and just making the game hard for her. And so I think that that's also a big advantage, just the team defense and also that individual defense of Carrington and Burton making the game harder for Caitlin Clark, who is obviously very, very talented. And, you know, a key to winning against the Fever is going to be to slow her down. Like I said, this would be the marquee matchup of the first round, which I think would be great for Sun fans in a season where, despite the team's early historic success, the team hasn't always received its flowers from the national media. You know, I mean, it could be frustrating and personally taxing for a lot of the players, probably especially Dejounte Carrington, given just how, you know, opposing players have been targeted by people who identify as Clark fans online, sending a lot of hate to any team or player that's matched up against Caitlin Clark and the Fever. You know, Dejounte Carrington has seen plenty of that hate on her own social media accounts. I've seen her doing plenty of clapping back on Twitter, but, you know, I think that that stuff does, you know, it's definitely not something that any of them are looking forward to. I'm not looking forward to being on social media, you know, during that time outside of the, you know, the group chats I'm in and things, but, you know, the clips on the clips from ESPN and then the national media, and also, you know, just the fervor you're going to hear from, again, those people who at least identify as Caitlin Clark fans is going to be frustrating to see. So I'm not looking forward to that, but I am looking forward to this big matchup, should it happen, because, you know, it'd be great to see this team in the marquee event. It'd be great to see everyone focusing on this team. And again, I think that the Connecticut Sun can win this matchup. And so it'd also be great for them to be able to, you know, shine on that really big stage. Also, just looking at the bigger picture of the playoffs, the Sun are, like I said, in a tight race against the Minnesota Lynx. The Lynx are in second with a 1-game advantage over the Sun. But the great news is that, barring any major upsets, you know, unless teams are really sliding around in the standings, it looks like the Aces and the Liberty will be on the opposite side of the bracket from the Sun. So obviously I don't want to get ahead of myself, but a potential path that includes Indiana and then Phoenix or Minnesota, I think gives the team a much better chance of making the finals than if they had to go through New York Liberty or the Las Vegas Aces. And also, just from a viewer perspective, I think the potential for a semifinal of the New York Liberty versus the Las Vegas Aces sounds like a lot of fun to watch, and a lot of fun to not have to be a fan rooting in that series, because that one sounds hard. Arlene, I hope I answered that question. I think, again, like I said, I think that Phoenix is definitely the best matchup, despite Indiana being the most likely. But, you know, we will see how things shape up. There's 4 games left in the season. So, you know, we're pretty close to the end here for the regular season, and we'll get to, you know, do a proper preview of the first round of the playoffs once we know what the picture will be. Everything's really coming down to these last 4 games. The number 8 seed isn't even decided yet. So there's a lot of exciting basketball coming up in the W, and the Sun, you know, need to get 4 wins out of the next 4 games if they want to take that second place spot to secure home court advantage in a potential second round. But also I think that positioning themselves into third, like I said, gives them a good chance of making it to the finals this year, if all goes as planned. That's going to be it for me. Thank you so much to everyone for listening to this show, and to Arlene especially for leaving us a voicemail question. Your question literally informed this entire episode, so thank you again for that. And if you want to hear your voice on the show like Arlene, you can leave us a message at 617-903-7683, and you can hear your voice on the show. You can also send us an email at ctsunpod@gmail.com, or you can DM us on social media. We're at ctsunpod. If you're a regular listener, please help spread the word about the show to other Sun fans in your network. You know, tell a seat neighbor at a game or a friend or a family member about the show. And I promise this isn't just about my ego and trying to get the listener numbers up. You know, spreading the show to more listeners will help me to get more amazing guests on the show, like Brendan Glasheen and Noah Delzell, who came on earlier. If this is the first episode you're listening to, welcome, and thanks for listening. Please subscribe wherever you get podcasts or on YouTube, and you can join the Here Come the Sun community. All right, that's it from me. Thank you all again for listening, and I will talk to you all here next week on Here Come the Sun.